The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Wait a second. Did I just hear that correctly?
What's that?
Bidding for the individual letters that spelled out Safeco Field starts at $1,500?
That's right. That's a part of history, Dory.
That's a bargain. I think that would be fun.
That is a clear sign that we are nearing the end of this economic bubble. If people will spend, oh, I got the F. So,
but you always, always have a great photo, story.
Every photo you've seen with the Safeco sign, you'd be like, I have that letter now.
What are you going to do if you buy the F that made up Safeco
Field? Put it in your
co-field.
Party room.
Exactly.
Put it on your house.
For $1,500?
Maybe your last name starts with an F.
Says the guy who spent $3,000 for a fake Christmas tree. Okay,
$2,000. It wasn't $3,000. And it's the best, Ursa, I'm telling you. Best investment I've ever made was that fake Christmas tree.
Don't make people feel bad if they think it's cool. Love Safeco Field. Love history. One F.
Oh, yeah. I have so many great memories at Safe. No, I'm going to the game tonight.
There you go.
I'm
going
to see my first Mariner game of the season
Did you
tonight.
See one last season?
Huh?
Did you go to one last season? I don't remember you going to a game.
Yeah, I went
in a while.
To one last year. And okay. I went to... Yeah, right. Remember last year? I felt so so proud because I was one row in front of Seahawks general manager John Schneider and his wife Tracy. I had better seats than them.
Whoa.
I know. So that's when I knew life was good. But $1,500 to buy a letter.
That's starting.
I think they're
that's
gonna go,
starting.
That's where it's starting. I think it's going to go a lot higher than that.
Well, yeah, we've got way too much money then. Okay, I'm now for the in state income tax that we're going to talk about because we just obviously have way too much money in this state. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get to the big lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
So we told you about this story yesterday, and apparently there is now some backlash that is building. I've always liked Issaquah. Seems like they have good people there. I've coached in the gym there a million times. Used to play a tournament there every year. It seemed like they have pretty decent kids there. I like Issaquah. Seems like a nice city. But this decision that they've made at Issaquah High School is an example of everything that is wrong with education and how we are approaching kids. And if you did not hear the show yesterday, and the reason I'm leading today's show, I did it in the 2 o'clock hour yesterday when we broke this exclusive. But as I said, I discovered about 1 o'clock this morning that there's a growing backlash after we talked about it. So at Issaquah High School, they sent out a letter, an email to parents this week about graduation stoles and adornments. And what they said, let me just read it to you. Well, a parent at Issaquah shared this with me. At the end of May, Principal McCormick sent out a message to students and families regarding the discussions and decisions around graduation honors and adornments, such as the removal of class rank and the addition of honor stoles and cords for achievements related to GPA. So in other words, they don't want to rank you by GPA because that's going to make the... I'm just going to speak bluntly here, and I don't want anybody to take offense. But it's going to make the stupider kids feel bad. And they're not all stupid. Some of them try their little, you know, heart out. But if you don't get... Okay, at least a 2.0, you're just not trying. You show up in class, you write your name at the top of the paper. You got to have so many absences to flunk a class these days because every school is just maniacally focused on moving kids through to graduation no matter what. But anyway, so the kids who work really hard, get a 4.0, a 3.9, get on honor roll, they get a little adornment cord that they can wear on their graduation robe to just signify their achievement. But then the principal continued to write, Oh, and they also, if you participate in sports or clubs and community service, they give the PTSA gives kids a cord for lots of community service. So you can wear all these on your robe, and it just shows your achievement as a student. So the principal wrote, despite our best efforts to ensure that all students felt honored and recognized at graduation for their various achievements, we came to realize that the addition of the various cords and stoles created added feelings of pressure and stress for our students instead of feelings of celebration and pride. So in other words, the kids who just play video games every day before and after school, and they don't participate in sports, and they don't make honor roll, and they don't do community service, they were feeling bad because the high-achieving kids got nice little awards on their graduation robes. And we can't have kids feeling bad at graduation, but more importantly, we certainly can't have the high-achieving kids feel good. Because we gotta bring down the high achievers. If we're gonna make everything equal, and we've spent hundreds of billions of dollars trying to raise up certain kids, and it's just not working in our schools. And so the only way we can make everybody equal is we've got to bring down the high achieving kids. That way, everybody can just be at the mediocre level. And then he wrote, the graduation committee recently met to discuss the same questions that we asked ourselves when we introduced the various honor cords and stoles. After much discussion and reflection, we believe that we cannot create a system that will allow us to recognize all the incredible achievements our students have accomplished during their high school careers at graduation in a way that is both equitable and manageable. What? You want a way that's equitable? If a kid makes honor roll and has a GPA that's high enough to qualify for honor roll, they get a cord. If they play a varsity sport, they get a cord. If they participate in drama or choir, extracurriculars, band, they get a cord. They do community service, they get a cord. But that's not equitable because the kids who don't do any of those things, they're just going to be sad. My robe doesn't have any cords. Well, did you work to get those cords? No, but I still feel bad. Oh, well, we don't want you to feel bad, honey. I'm sorry. We'll take it away from all of the other kids. That way, will you feel better if all the other kids who worked so hard to achieve things, will you feel better if we take it away from them? Yeah, because then we'll be equal at graduation. Okay, sweetie. Come here. Give me a hug. So he finished his email. Because of these reasons, we have decided there are more appropriate venues than the graduation ceremony to celebrate individual accomplishments. And moving forward, cords and stoles will no longer be offered or allowed at the graduation ceremony. And as I said yesterday, this is what's wrong today. Is we cannot celebrate achievement. We cannot, we can't make the kids who don't work as hard feel bad that they didn't work as hard. And it's just lowering everybody. Let's just lower everybody to mediocrity. They'll all look the same. Hey, yay, everything's equal. Doesn't matter. And that's what life is all about right now. That's what all the Democratic presidential candidates are about. Oh, you didn't work hard. You didn't get a marketable college degree. You don't have a job besides the minimum wage job. Well, tell you what, we'll tax that guy who worked really hard in college and has gotten a really good job. We'll take his stuff and give it to you. Will that make you feel better? Yeah, because it's not fair that he has so much more. But he did get a really marketable, he or she, she got a really marketable college degree and has gotten a job that's in high demand that pays well. And you didn't do those things. Will you still please take her stuff and give it to me? Because that makes me feel bad. And everyone should be equal. Everybody should have the exact same pay, no matter what jobs we do, no matter what degree we have, no matter how hard we work. Everybody should make the same. Didn't you see the Green New Deal? We should give a living wage to people who choose not to work. Because work's not fun. And I want to have fun. But I can't afford fun unless you take her money and give it to me. Will you do that, please, Mr. President?
Sure. I'll give you everything. College will be free. Everything will be free. Your college loans, somebody else will pay those off. Medical care will be free. In fact, free medical care isn't enough. We will pay you $50 every time you go to a doctor. As they try to out-crazy each other. Okay, so anyway, I told you I had an update to this Issaquah story. I saw a tweet from the Issaquah Daily giving the Dory Monson Show some love. They had a tweet at 1 a.m. I got home from our Seahawks post game last night. Issaquah parents have now launched a petition asking the high school to reverse the decision and allow academic achievements be displayed at graduation. And then the Issaquah Daily linked to this petition. And the parents said, this decision is not only highly unacceptable, but it's very disappointing for all the students who have worked hard to maintain high GPAs, put time and effort into volunteering for community service hours and participating in clubs to earn various honor cords and stoles, such as the community service cord, the academic cord. This is an unnecessary break in a tradition that's been going on for decades in high schools all over the United States. But we've got an administration at Issaquah High School that doesn't want some kids to feel bad. So we'll keep you posted as the parents have filed this petition. But again, this is so different from everything I've known about Issaquah, which was, you know, a place that seemed to have a lot of good high achievers. And they instilled great hard work value in their kids. But man, hard work. We cannot celebrate hard work. Not in today's America. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Bizarro World.
And that leads to a story that I heard about this late last night. This is just awesome. So there's a woman who at her work, she wrote some paper or document. And her boss had to edit it. And because of that edit, and this was a millennial young woman in her late 20s. And because the boss had to edit it, this woman just went ballistic. And so one of her coworkers chronicled everything that went down in real time on Twitter. And let me just read to you the series of tweets from this woman who observed what happened in her office. She said, in office space near a client, a young woman was meeting with her boss. She was in her late 20s, it appeared. The boss, also a woman, was giving her feedback and reviewing edits she had made on something this young woman wrote. They had been speaking in low tones, but the volume got louder toward the end of the conversation because the young woman was getting agitated about a particular edit. Okay, so the 20-something woman wrote something, her boss is editing it, and now they're starting to get heated over the edit. The coworker who observed all this went on to say, that particular edit was correcting the spelling of hamster to hamster. She was writing about the little rodent. And the woman spelled hamster, H-A-M-P-S-T-E-R. And the boss said, no, it's hamster. And
this woman, and this is a blue checkmark Twitter person who's writing all this, so she seems to be a somewhat credible chronicler of what went down. She said the young woman had used the phrase like spinning in a hamster wheel in this draft speech or op-ed. The woman kept saying, "I don't know why you corrected that because I spell it with the P in it." The boss said calmly, "But that's not how hamster is spelled. There is no P in hamster." The young woman, "But you don't know that. I learned to spell it with a P, so that's how I spell it." The boss, remaining very calm and professional, "Let's go to dictionary.com and look it up together." And the Twitter person said, "Mind you, this is a woman in her late 20s, not a fifth grader. The young woman insists she doesn't need to look it up in the dictionary because it's fine to spell it with a P because that's how she wanted to spell it." The boss said, "Let's look over the rest of the piece so I can explain the rest of my edits." They do, and the young woman is fighting back tears. The boss is calm, cool, handles it with professionalism and empathy. The boss says, "I know edits can be difficult to go over sometimes, especially when you're working on new kinds of things as you grow in your career, but it's a necessary process and makes us all better at what we do." Boss gets up from table, goes to her office. The young woman can barely hold it together. She moves to another table in the common workspace area, drops all her stuff loudly on the table's top, and starts texting. A minute later, her phone rings. It was her mom. She had texted her mom to call her because it was urgent. And I'm sure her mother thought maybe she was in the ER or something. She then puts her mom on speakerphone in the workplace. She bursts into tears and wants her mom to call her boss and tell her not to be mean about telling her how to spell words like hamster. The mother tells her that her boss is an idiot and she doesn't have to listen to her and she should go to the boss's boss to file a complaint about not allowing creativity in her writing. The young woman kept saying, "I thought what I wrote was perfect, and she made all these changes, and then had the nerve to tell me I was spelling words wrong, when I know they are right, because that's how I've always spelled them." She then went on, still on speakerphone, to tell her mom how very great and inappropriate the office, or no, to tell her mom, "I'm very great," and office inappropriate detail about how hungover she was and what she and her friends did with some guys the night before. Mom laughed and laughed. The colleagues in and around the workplace kept looking at one another, and some even put earbuds, headphones on. It appeared as though this was a regular thing with her. So this is what happens when you can't recognize achievement in schools. You get the softest people who cry and have to call mommy in the workplace because they're not allowed to spell hamster with a P in the middle. Hey, how many Issaquah kids are going to grow up like this girl? Because we have to water down everything there. Okay, there you have it. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news. And then, man, Joe Biden's presidential campaign is imploding. But Trump should find a way to prop him up until he gets the nomination. I'm telling you that right now. Details next on the Dory Monson Show. You can give us feedback on everything we're talking about on the Online Trading Academy text line 98973 from the 425. I appreciate that story you just shared. I learned something. I honestly thought hamster was spelled hamster. You never know what one will learn listening to the Dory Monson Show. No, you never do. I appreciate the feedback. All right. The presidential campaign trail. Yesterday, not exactly a great day for the Democrat frontrunner, Joe Biden. Joe Biden, the big knock on him, it's so weird that he's, you know, still kind of the strong front runner, because the last time he ran for president, he was a disaster and he had a lot of gaffes, and he's obviously slowed down a lot. You know, he's got that super tight snare drum face now, but they don't have Botox for the brain. And he's obviously slowed down. And is if he was gaffe-prone years ago, his handlers are starting to get real worried. So anyway, yesterday he's speaking at the Iowa State Fair, and it was something else. And this is the one where he tried to catch himself.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. Wealthy kids, black kids, Asian kids.
Poor kids are just as talented as white kids. And then he caught himself, and you hear him even stumble. He goes, wealthy kids, white kids, Asian kids, black kids. But that was all an afterthought because he actually said, poor kids are just as talented as white kids. And immediately the Trump war room jumped on that and sent that out. But even Democrats were doing the old face palms. Because this is their worst nightmare, because they still believe, and they've seen these polls, and we know how accurate presidential polls are, but they've seen polls that Biden can beat Trump. And so they are, you know, because, you know, if it's Bernie Sanders or Kamala Harris, once all of America starts hearing about government's going to take away all private health care, and government's going to run all the health care in the country. Once people start to really understand that that's at the core of what Bernie and Kamala and all the other radicals are all about, Elizabeth Warren, they can't win. You can't win. College will be free for everybody. And if you took out a college loan, other people will pay it off. That's not a winning message. And so Biden, they said, well, at least he's moderate enough. But Biden's just slowing down. So, oh, my goodness.
We choose science over fiction.
Oh, hey, let me play the one that I just played again.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. So Joe Biden, in his head, he just equates being a minority with being poor. And then, he stumbled because he caught himself in what he had said.
Wealthy kids.
Wealthy. I mean, literally, wealthy kids. Black kids, Asian kids.
Black kids, Asian kids.
So that one kind of revealed. But then there was this one, too, where he was, and it's the crowd is also the part I love about this.
We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over facts. So, folks.
Okay, now, I don't know what's worse there. Okay, we choose science over fiction. Okay, that's rhetorically, that's a well-constructed phrase. We choose science over fiction. But then we choose truth over facts. Huh? And that's bad. But also, what kind of moron is in the crowd listening to Joe Biden? Because when he said, we choose truth over facts, they go, woo! Somebody actually woos that. Listen again.
We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over facts. So, folks.
I mean, I don't know whose mind is number, Joe's or the people who are listening to Joe. We choose truth over facts. Woo! Huh? What? Wait, what'd you say? No, they don't question it. They just know, like a bunch of trained SEALs, that was a line designed to get applause. So we better applaud, even if it made no sense at all. And then there was this, all in the same speech. He took some questions. And somebody asked him, who is your favorite non-president historical figure? And here's Joe Biden's favorite non-president historical figure.
I think maybe my favorite historical figure is maybe there's a couple philosophers that I find that, in fact, understood about human nature better than most.
And he's struggling. He can't name these philosophers. He's just trying to come up with an answer. So this is what you do. You just babble and hope nobody notices that you're babbling. But then he finally comes up with a non-presidential favorite.
Maybe my favorite historical figure is maybe there's a couple philosophers that I find that, in fact, understood about human nature better than most people. But in terms
of... Who are those philosophers? Let the crowd know so they can go and check out their books. A couple philosophers. I want names.
Political figures, I think. But in terms of political figures, I think that maybe my favorite political figure would... It's a tough call, but I would have to say it's those presidents and those people who gave America hope, made them believe in who they are. And I'd have to start off, and you said not a president, I have to start off with Jefferson, even though he didn't live up to it. He's the guy that wrote that incredible document.
I know you said not a president. I'll go with Thomas Jefferson. Hate to tell you this, Joe. TJ got into the Oval Office there. Did they have the Oval Office for the third president? Let's see here. Then he said this to the crowd in Iowa.
Again, you have to start off with what they start off with. There's less than 1% of the population of Iowa that is African-American. There is probably less than 4 or 5% of that is our minorities. What is in Washington?
I think it's a vast majority.
Yeah. So look, it goes back to what you start off with, what you're dealing with.
He was asked, why are schools so much worse in the inner cities? And he said, well, it's what you start off with. They got too many minorities. And so there's just all these, and he said a bunch of racist things over the years. And in these ad-lib situations where he doesn't have the teleprompter, he just struggles. But there's like a very racial subtext to everything he says. And Donald Trump responded to all this Joe Biden stuff earlier today. Let me take a real quick time out. Then I'll play for you some more audio. And I'm telling you, though, they don't want to get rid of Joe during the Democratic primaries because Trump wants to run against Joe. I guarantee that. I still think that some of the other Democrat candidates, like Inslee, would be a far more formidable challenge for Trump. Inslee. Trump would win all 50 states if Inslee got the nomination. Okay, lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. So we played for you all of the Uncle Joe gaffes yesterday. And it's so funny to look at the text line. People go, you make fun of Biden not naming a philosopher. How about when Trump couldn't name a Bible verse? Have you just started listening to the show yesterday? We played that soundbite and made so much fun of it. When Trump couldn't or wouldn't name a Bible verse, and then when he, in a different speech, said something about 2 Corinthians. We play those all the time, and we make fun of those, too. Loosen up. So it's just Joe happens to have had all the gaffes yesterday. So, no, I'm not going to play two-year-old audio because I did that 2 years ago and played that a ton on the show. But so anyway... All of these Biden clips at the Iowa State Fair came just one day after John. This is one of my favorite sound bites in a long, long time, when he said this about Trump being a white supremacist.
His energetic embrace, the energetic embrace of this president by the darkest hearts.
I just love that. His energetic embrace, the energetic embrace. I love that one.
His energetic embrace. The energetic embrace of this man.
So anyway, that's a 2-day span for Biden. And Democrats are getting genuinely worried. That's the other reason why this is a story today. They're getting genuinely worried because they truly think that Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, that they are too radical to have any chance of nationwide victory. And they think, well, Joe's the only guy who can beat Trump. But they are genuinely worried because these gaffes are just happening with incredible regularity. And here's what Trump said a little bit earlier today about Joe's gaffes.
Joe is not playing with a full deck. He made that comment. I said, whoa, I saw it because I was on something. I had a television. I saw his comment. Joe Biden is not playing with a full deck. This is not somebody you can have as your president. But if he got the nomination, I'd be thrilled.
And that's the one thing I don't understand. Why is Trump jumping on Biden now? Because I think, and maybe it is because they know that their opponent, if more radical leftist, Harris, Warren, Sanders, that Trump would trounce any of them because they're too radical. Maybe they know that. And maybe they would rather run against Harris, Warren, or Sanders. Maybe Biden is the most formidable. But I just think Joe gets closer and closer to what will be 78 years old for the nominee. He'd be by far the oldest person ever elected president for the first time. And he's showing it. You know, all the hair plugs and the Botox and the plastic surgery. I know you got to do that because, you know, it's a young person's game, this politics. I mean, look at Jay Inslee. At least Jay Inslee. Here's the thing. Like Chris Christie, I've talked about this before. When Chris Christie was running for president, I thought Chris Christie was an engaging guy. He talked like a normal person, didn't just have canned speeches. I thought that he had a lot of likable qualities. But whether you like this or not, we're not going to, shoot, I was going to say we're not going to elect a 300-pound person president. But let's face it, our current president isn't exactly fit and trim. But with Chris Christie, he said he got that lap band surgery. And then he didn't lose any weight. He's the first person in history to get the lap band and not lose weight. So I don't even know if he actually got the surgery. But he didn't get in shape for the presidential campaign. And as heavy as Donald Trump is, Chris Christie made Trump look like a string bean when they stood next to each other. So it's just about optics. Jay Inslee, tell you what, I don't know if Jay had work done, but he lost weight. He's got a nice, tight-looking face, which can happen if you lose weight. But maybe he got a little injection or two. I don't know. If he did, it was well done. But that's what it's all about. And, yeah, that's a shame. You look at the historical pictures of presidents. Tell you what, 150 years ago, we didn't care what they looked like. They were all a mess. They were just physical messes. Now, gotta look good. Okay, lots more to do. A lot of local news in the Fast 15 coming up next.